Now, let's see here. Cooper, he's back from Bible college. Who else is back from Bible college? Cooper? All right. Come on up here, Cooper. Amen. I'm going to have him preach. No, I'm kidding. Cooper's back from Hiles Anderson College. Got his first semester in. And I thought he could give us a word tonight. Just tell us what God's done in his life while he's been there. Go ahead. Go ahead, buddy.
Well, it is great to be back. That's the main thing I've got to say. But it was amazing up there. There's something very special about being in God's will and knowing it. Whenever you're where you need, you know God wants you. And I don't know, that feeling is amazing. I just, week in and week out, just, again, there are struggles in classes where I'm falling a little bit behind and need to wake up early and struggles, but it was good. It was every day waking up and doing something for God, and it just, it was amazing. The bus route there, I mean, I'm sure the other college students have always said it, but I'll say it too, because the bus route there is the best part. It is absolutely amazing. There's so much good stuff there. There's good preaching, there's good teaching and all that, but being a part of a bus route and being there with the kids and all of that and the craziness of basically a full Sunday, you wake up and nonstop the whole day, and then even till the very end of the night, you're always doing something, helping a bus kid, paying for his food, or you know, doing night bus and preaching and all of it. It's amazing. I genuinely loved it so much. I passed my classes, and that's of the Lord. That's not of me. I'll say that right now. That's one thing my dad didn't give me was a brain. But I thank God for that. It was stressful getting through it, but once I got through it, I was very glad. But I even being back now, I already miss it, and I can't wait to go back. But I am so happy to be back in this church. There's something about being back in your home church with all the people that you love. And, man, it is amazing to be back. I can't wait to be here over the summer. It is amazing. But I just wanted to say thank y'all to all of y'all for praying for me. I know there was tons of people back home praying for me and truly missing me and caring for me. I get letters from people, and it meant a lot and helped me get through the tough times that I did have when I was up there. It was rough a couple times, and just being able to read those cards that I got from people who genuinely cared and were praying for me, and knowing I have a church back home that's got my back is just such a big deal for me. So I just wanted to say thank you to all of y'all for just missing me and caring for me and praying for me when I was gone. It truly, I think that's a big reason why it was so good. And so I just thank all of y'all for that. But like I said, I'm so glad to be back, and just can't wait to see what the Lord's going to do with me this summer. So.
Amen. What a blessing. Old Coop grew up in this church, and what a blessing he is. And just want to see him keep serving the Lord. You know, you can always encourage somebody to keep on keeping on. You can always do that. It's a power that every Christian has, is the power to encourage somebody to keep on going. Amen. And keep on serving the Lord. And there's another power. If you quit, we'll give you a kick in the pants. Amen. And that's another power. Amen. No, but God's good to you, Cooper. I'm glad for you. Keep on serving Jesus. Amen. All right, let's take a look tonight at James chapter 3, beginning with verse number 11 in God's word tonight. James chapter 3 and verse number 11. Follow along tonight. I'm going to read through the rest of the passage tonight and preach on these thoughts. Verse 11, the Bible says, "Doth a fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter? Can the fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries? Either a vine, fig. So can no fountain both yield salt water and fresh. Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. But if ye have bitter envy and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion in every evil work. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. Let's pray tonight. Father, tonight, thank you for the Bible. Thank you for the Word of God. And Lord, tonight, as we open it up, I pray tonight you'd help us to see and understand the truths that you're teaching us in your Word tonight. I pray, God, you'd use every word that's said to the honor and glory of the Lord Jesus. For your glory and honor, we pray these things tonight. We ask in Jesus' name, amen. In the book of James, we are seeing in this passage of Scripture the life of a true Christian. He is compared to both a fountain and he's compared to a tree here in what a Christian should send forth. Now, can I tell you something? You may not realize it, but your life is sending forth something. Your life is sending forth something. Something is coming from your life. If I were to give you some names, you would immediately understand that that life brings forth something. How about if I mentioned the name George Washington? That brings forth something to your mind. How about the name Benedict Arnold? Some of you don't even know who he is since they revised the history books in the public schools. Benedict Arnold was a traitor in the Revolutionary War who turned on his country at that time. What if I brought to you the name Michael Jackson? There's something going sending forth from that name, isn't it? And you may not realize it tonight, but you are sending forth something from your life. Somebody once said your walk talks and your talk talks, but your walk talks louder than your talk talks. Amen? The best sermons are not really the best sermons. The best lives are really the best sermons. Those are the truthful ones. Can I tell you something tonight? Every Christian ought to send forth something from their life. You know, I think it's strange, but did you know that every third grader wants to be a fourth grader? And every third grader looks forward to the fourth grader because he wants to be like the fourth grader. But do you know something about those fourth graders? They want to be fifth graders. Amen? And fifth graders want to be sixth, and it goes all the way up. High school wants to be in college. The college guy gets done. He wants to get married. Right? The married student wants to get married. Then you get old. Then you want to have kids. Then you get so old, you just want to go to heaven. Amen? But let me tell you something. Your life is sending forth something. What is the message coming forth from your life? Now, notice what Jesus said here. Notice the Bible, what it says here. And we're going to look at this. Doth the same, verse 11, doth a fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter? Your life is sending forth either sweet water or bitter. What you are is sending forth something to the world. You know, this may surprise you, but somebody is watching you in your Christian life. Somebody is watching you in your Christian life. Somebody has their eye on you, and somebody wants to watch you to see if you have got something that they can grab a hold of and live their life with. And if they don't see anything, if they see two different things, they see both sweet water and impure water, then can I tell you what? God is trying to teach us what is our life sending forth to this world. Now notice, I want you to notice some things about the passage tonight. Number one, the Bible teaches we cannot live two different lives and please God. We can't live two different lives. You got to live one life. Amen? You got to live one life. That one life ought to be all in for the glory of God. Amen? All in for the glory of God. You cannot live two lives. And he compares it here to a fountain, verse 11. Now the fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter. And of course the answer is no. You can't get both sweet water and bitter from a fountain. And our life is a fountain. And what comes forth from us is not going to be sweet and bitter. It's either going to be sweet or bitter water. And I don't know about you, but when I pass from this life to the next life, I don't want anybody to say, he sent forth bitter water. He sent forth bitter water. Now, I want to teach you tonight that you can't live two different lives. You know, the devil tries to teach us to straddle the fence. The devil wants us to straddle that fence. And it's human nature both to want both a little bit in the world and live a little bit for God. That's human nature because we're often tossed about, and you have that old nature in you. And you know what? I think that old nature doesn't like to be rejected. It likes to fit in. Young people, you're going to be tempted to fit in. Fit in with the world. You got five worldly teenagers and then one teenager who wants to live for the Lord. And they get around the five worldly teenagers. I'll promise you something. You're going to want to fit in. You're going to want to fit in. But remember something. Your life cannot send forth both sweet water and bitter. You say, what should a Christian do? What should a young person do? And even us adults, what should we do? Hear me. We got to stand for God in the midst of when the world is trying to pull us and drag us down. Just stand. Take a stand. Be pure. Be clean. Be honest. Have integrity. Don't try to fit in with the world. Just keep on serving God. You don't have to be anything but pleasing to God. That's all you have to be. Don't let your life shine forth both sweet water and bitter, because the truth is, if you try to mix the both, you're going to end up with bitter water. Take a bucket of pure water and put one drop of poison in it, just one drop. Would you want to drink from that one drop? I wouldn't want to drink from it. I wouldn't want to have a sip of that, because, boy, that one drop can ruin the whole thing. And, you know, our lives are that way. We don't want to send forth a poisonous water. We want to send forth sweet water. Can I tell you something? Always be a sweet Christian. Always be a sweet Christian. Wherever you go, be a Christian. Give out tracts. Give out the gospel. Be a sweet Christian. Let your light shine in the world. I was so glad when they put two windows in the drive-up. You know why? Because then I get to witness to two people. Amen? And I get a double cheeseburger with fries at the end also. Amen? Amen. Hey, listen, our lives is sending forth something. What are you sending forth? What are you sending forth? I like to go and talk to people and just, you know, sometimes you don't have time to witness to somebody. But I give them a gospel tract and I say, hey, come to our church. Try us out. We'll be your friend. We'll be your friend. I want to send forth a little sweet water. Sweet water. Hey, husbands, bring your flowers to your wife. Amen, preacher. That's good preaching. You just keep preaching on that one. I'll come prepared to amen myself. Let me try that again. Husbands, bring some flowers to your wife. Amen. All the women said amen. Amen. Or chocolate. Okay. Okay. I guess that's sweet water. I don't know. Amen. Is that sweet water? Send forth sweetness. Hey, young people, tell your mom and dad you appreciate them. Send some sweet water. Tell your little brother you love him. Amen or oh me, whatever it works. God wants us to be sending forth sweet water. Can a fountain send forth both? No way. Send forth sweet water. There's something when you get saved that enables us to send that sweet water. That's the Lord living in us. Amen. Amen? If someone does you wrong, turn around and do them good. Amen. Amen? If someone hates you or despises you, turn around and do them good. Amen? You say, that's not easy. I know, but that's what God wants us to do. He doesn't want us to be a fountain with two different waters coming forth. Amen. If somebody cuts you off when you're driving down the highway, pray for them. They might have been late to work and had to beat you to wherever you had to go. Amen. Listen, God's just teaching us to send forth sweet water. I believe husbands and wives send forth sweet water, our marriages will be better. Amen. And by the way, husbands, you can't make your wife send forth sweet water. And wives, you can't make your husband send forth sweet water. That's why God gave you me to preach it. Amen. To preach it. Send some sweet water. Leave a little love note. I was moving Lauren and Jason are getting married here at the end of the month. They got a little house that they've got set up there. And I was told we had two or three loads of stuff to bring from Lauren's dorm room to their little house. And I ended up with six loads. Amen. Six loads from Lauren. Amen. And I noticed as I brought one in, one box, there was a whole shoe box full of love letters. I was going to bring a few of them and read them, but she might not like that. Amen. But I tell you what, that's good. Anytime you can send forth sweet water. This world needs sweet water because the devil brings confusion, anger, fear, hatred, heartache. The devil brings all that to people. And when they see some sweet water, it helps them to know there's a God in this world. Amen. Number two. Notice number two here. To love God means to live wholly for Jesus. Go to Matthew chapter 6 with me. I'm going to show you a verse over there. Book of Matthew chapter number 6. Matthew chapter 6 and verse number 24. This verse really makes it clear. Matthew chapter 6 and verse number 24. Notice what the Bible says here. It says here, no man can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Notice the next two words. You cannot. You cannot serve God and mammon. And he's talking about the things of the world. You can't serve both. You got to choose. And that's what Joshua did. In Joshua 24, he said, choose you this day whom you'll serve. You got to make a choice and then just stick with that choice. Because there's times when the world will pull you off of your choice. Right? The world will pull you away from your choice. But you've got to go back to that time when you said, you know what? I remember that decision I made at church, or I remember that decision I made at camp to live for God. And I'm not going to serve two masters. Amen? By the way, just a side note, that's why I'm against polygamy. Some of you will catch that later on. No man can serve two masters. Okay, you're getting there, all right. You got to get the jokes a little quicker, okay? I got to keep preaching. All right, no man can serve two masters. He will love the one and hate the other. Hey, listen, if you end up falling in love with the world, what will you do with God? What's that verse say? You hate God. But if you love God, what will you do to the world? You hate the world, right? Because God said it's impossible to love both God and the world at the same time. You can't straddle the fence. God says just get all the way over on God's team. Amen? Get all the way over on God's team. It's kind of like a football player that plays for one team the first half, and then he comes out with a different uniform and a different jersey the second half. What would you think of that? Say, that guy's crazy. And you know, we're on God's team. We got to play on his team the whole time because we can't serve God and man. Number three, we need to have a desire to love God enough to live a single-minded life. You know, our love for God is the key to this. How much should we really love God? I love the Lord. I want to serve the Lord. And if there's things that God does that I do that displease the Lord, I want to stop those things. Amen. If I do things that displease my wife, I want to stop those things. If she does things that displease me, she needs to stop those things. And I got a whole list of things at home for that in regard to that. Amen. She does too, by the way. Amen. She's got a list too. Amen. So I'm just simply saying to you, we ought to have a desire to love God enough. You know, fall in love with Jesus. Just fall in love with Jesus. I mean, just get so thrilled in your heart that you're a Christian. Oh, it is wonderful to be a Christian. Oh, it is wonderful to be God's child. Amen. You got a privileged life. You're privileged just walking with Jesus. Love the Lord. Everywhere you go, love the Lord. Let your light so shine that men may see your good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven. Amen. So we need to have a desire to just love the Lord with all our heart. You know, there are times in every Christian life when that old flesh tries to pull on us. And I've written some of those times down. There are influences that are in this world that we have to be aware of. What are some of these influences? Number one, friends. Friends. What kind of friends do you have? What kind of friends do you hang around? I believe a Christian should be friendly to everyone. That's part of being a Christian, amen? But I don't think you should be a close friend with a worldly friend. You say, why? Because they'll rub off on you. My dad used to say, if you run with skunks, you begin to smell like one. Don't run with skunks. Amen. If you have a friend that does some questionable things, you know, the Bible says that a friend can tell a friend the truth. If you have a friend that's doing some wrong things or questionable things, say, hey, let me pray with you about that. God doesn't want you to do that. I'm your friend and I care about you. Amen. Pray with them. If they won't give it up and they're going to be hard-hearted about it, you know what will happen? It'll rub off on you eventually. And you have to make a decision. But remember this, we can't serve two masters. We can't serve two masters. Either you'll love the one and hate the other. Choose your friends wisely. Choose your friends who love the Lord, who are in church. No friend is perfect, but have a friend who is always going to bring you up in the Lord and not always bring you down in the Lord. Have those kind of friends in your life. Have real friends, good friends. Do you have a friend that you can pray with? Do you have a friend you can pray with? Do you have a friend that you can, that you're lifted up by them? Or would you say that if you're around your friends, that friend, they bring you spiritually down? Be careful. Be careful, because that friend will influence you to live a double life, the Sunday morning life and then the rest of the week life. But you know, God didn't save us just for Sunday morning. He saved us to live for Him and please Him every day of the week. So I'm saying to you tonight, be careful of your friends. Here's the second thing, bad television. Bad television. Television is a big influence on people. You got to watch out for that thing. You got to watch out for that thing. Isn't it funny how they got 500 channels now and none of them are decent? Who thought that up? You know, you turn it on and, man, it's a mess. It's just a mess. It's sad. But you got to be careful what you watch. Oh, be careful, little eyes, what you see. Oh, be careful, little eyes, what you see. Well, the Father up above is looking down in love. So be careful, little eyes, what you see. Hey, we got to watch out. Have courage to turn the channel, to turn it off. Have courage to turn those things off. We need that. We can't send forth both the same, the salt water and the bitter. Amen? We got to send forth one message to the world. You say, preacher, I'm saved, but I don't want to be sending a message to the world. But you know what? Whether you know it or not, you are. Whether you know it or not, you are. Hey, in that workplace, shine for Jesus. And just keep on standing. And you know what? Sometimes they'll treat you wrongly because of that. We've got a man in our church who goes to work every day, and there's a guy there that harasses him. Just harangues him. Because he knows he's a Christian. And he's just trying to have a good testimony to the guy. You know, that can be a challenge. But God will bless him for that, for winning that challenge. Yeah. Amen? God will bless him. So I say to you tonight, watch that. Next thing, movie stars. Movie stars. Who do you idolize? Who do you idolize? Is it LeBron? Is it LeBron? Who do you idolize? Are all these sports stars and movie stars idols? Hey, when it's all said and done, and 100 years from now, all these movie stars are dead and gone, what do you think they'll be doing? Where do you think they'll be? Where do you think they'll be? Witness for the Lord. Dr. Tom Williams years ago told a story how he got on an elevator one day and he went up to the next floor and the door opened and in walked Elvis Presley. Elvis Presley, he said, I got just a few seconds, and he witnessed to Elvis Presley on the elevator. I don't know what happened, but he got all shook up, that I know. Amen. Just kidding. Just kidding, okay? But no, that's a true story. He did witness to Elvis Presley. Amen. So I'm saying to you tonight, hey, be careful who you idolize. You know, if you knew the lives of these movie stars, if you knew the life that they really lead, and these rock stars, I mean, if we were able to go into their life, they put on some good appearance when they're on a show, but they really are not what they seem to be. And if you idolize them, can I tell you what? You'll become like him, and your life will send forth not just sweet water, but bitter. Amen? I think it's important. These rock stars. I'll tell you what. But here's another problem today is pot smoking. Everybody's doing it. And everybody is dumb as a box of rocks, too. You say, it's popular. It doesn't matter what's popular. It matters what God in His Word wants us to be. Well, I don't smoke pot, but I vape, Pastor. Hey, what message are you sending forth? What are you sending forth? We need to be a message where we're sending forth a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what we need to be. The influences of the world can teach us not to love the Lord. They teach us to live a double life, but we know according to Scripture that we cannot serve two masters. We're going to love the one and hate the other, or we're going to hate the one and love the other. But you can't do both. So get all the way over on God's side. Hey, in your standards and in your convictions, know what the Bible says and put them in your heart. Amen. Amen. Know what the Bible says and put them in your heart. And when you've got them in your heart, be glad that God gave them to you. Amen. Amen. Don't envy the world. You say, well, sometimes it looks like the world gets to live freer than a Christian. Hey, listen, the Bible teaches that the world is enchained. They're enslaved in sin. They're the ones enslaved. They're enslaved to those addictions, to the the stuff they're watching and the stuff that they can't quit without Christ. Don't envy the world. Be glad that God put His Word in us, and we have these convictions and standards. And I just believe a Christian ought to live with convictions and standards in their life. And you know, I watch a young person. When a young person grows up and they never get convictions in their life about their friends or their music, and they never get their own convictions. And by the way, you can't just live off your mom and dad's convictions forever. At some point in time, you got to get them in your own heart. And you got to allow God to manifest that and put it in your own heart. And when you do, I want to tell you something. You're going to send forth some sweet water to this world. Amen. Don't ever be ashamed of Christ. Apostle Paul said in Romans 1, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. We're in the world, but we're certainly not of the world. So let our light shine. Let your light shine for Christ. Dress in a way that portrays the sweet water of Christ. Amen. You say, boy, preachers don't preach on how you ought to dress anymore. I do. Because the Scripture tells us to. Amen. Scripture teaches ladies ought to dress in modest apparel. You know what that is? That's sweet water sent forth. Amen. I tell you, and you know, and I'll tell you what, you know, our bodies should be holy to the Lord. Our bodies. You know, Romans chapter 1, I beseech you therefore, Romans 12 verse 1, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your what? Your body. A living sacrifice. Not a dead sacrifice, a living sacrifice. God says, Lord, here's my body. I give you my body. Lord, I want in my body the very things that you want me to have and the things that you want me to be. Boy, God will bless a Christian like that. That's sweet water. I always appreciate a young lady who has these convictions and standards in her own heart. I appreciate that. Amen. You know, I appreciate ladies who they dress modestly and godly everywhere they go. They're no better than anybody. But may I tell you what? My respect level for them is just Amen. Way up here. Right. I just respect a lady like that. Amen. And, you know, when I see a Christian dressing just trashy, do you respect your body enough to let the Lord direct you in your own body? You say, I'm a Christian. It doesn't matter what you wear. It doesn't matter what you do. You know, the Bible doesn't teach that. The Bible teaches, let your light so shine among men that they may see your good works and glorify your God, Father which is in heaven. Amen? I don't think men ought to be out mowing the lawn with their big old beer belly full of hair all hanging out. Amen? Got your cutoffs out there, mowing the lawn. Man, you look like a caveman out there. Everything we do, we're a representation of the Lord Jesus. If He lives in you, let Him live through you. Because we serve a holy God, don't we? That's called sweet water. Sweet water. Are you a sweet water Christian? The story is told about a stagecoach company that was trying to hire a stagecoach driver in the old Western days in the treacherous mountain passes. And they knew they had to get a good stagecoach driver because he was going to drive on very difficult mountain passes. And if he were to fall over, all the cargo would be ruined and destroyed. So they had three candidates, and they got the first candidate up there. And the first candidate got that on the horse. He hitched up the team, and he drove that stagecoach. And he drove that thing. He was about a foot away from the edge. And he could drive that stagecoach about a foot away from the edge. And he was real careful. Well, then they had the second candidate come up. And the second candidate got behind the stagecoach and hitched up the team, got it all ready. And he got that thing 6 inches from the edge. And he drove that stagecoach 6 inches from the edge. But the third driver, he got on there, hitched up the team. You know what he did? He went all the way to the wall and stayed tens of feet away from the edge and veered that stagecoach as close as he could to the inside wall. Guess who they hired? And to protect their cargo. Can I tell you what? God, in some respects, has hired us to protect his cargo. He's hired us to protect his cargo. And by doing so, we should always get over here, get far away from the edges in the Christian life. Just stay away from those edges. Teenagers, stay away from the edge. Hug the wall in your Christian life. Get close to God. Stay close to God. Don't let any of those things ruin you or bring you down. Keep your life close to the wall. Can I say, men, when we go to the workplace, all week long we go to that workplace, there's temptations there. Hey, hug the wall. Hug the wall. Stay all the way over where you should be in life. Send forth sweet water. Be that Christian that God wants. Don't let anything that might be a stumbling block to somebody be in our lives. Let's hug the wall. Let's get all the way over on God's side. And let's let it be known we're God's. If we're God's tonight, we're going to send forth sweet water to a lost and dying world. Are you sending forth sweet water? Is that what's coming forth from out of you? Is that what's coming out of you? You know, you can be assured that what goes in us will come out of us. So what we've got to do is make sure that we don't put the wrong things in us, but we live with the sweet water in our life. Are you living that way? Are you living that way? Let me ask you, have you formed your own convictions yet? Have you formed your own convictions? You say, well, my mom and dad kind of tell me what I'm supposed to do and how I'm supposed to do it. What about you? What about you? Have you decided to do right on your own? Have you decided to get over here and hug that wall and stay away from all those things in the world? Don't even get close to them? I want to tell you something. That's what God wants us to do. We're a representative of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul put it this way. He said, I am an ambassador in bonds. He said, I'm an ambassador for the Lord Jesus Christ. We all are. Let's be the type of Christian that sends forth sweet water in this life. Somebody is watching your life. What are they seeing come forth from your life? Let's bow our heads tonight. Let's close our eyes.